This is Dr. Leticia Wright for IDCDating.com. IDCDating.com is where we're creating multicultural relationships every day. Today's podcast guest is Dr. Dennis Nieder. He has a doctorate in metaphysics, and his website is called beingaman.com. He's written two books called Being a Man in a Woman's World, which has great dating advice for men, and he also talks about relationships between men and women and how we can really make them work. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Leticia. I'm thrilled to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Being a Man in a Woman's World, why you wrote two books, actually. Why did you call it that?
Well, actually, I've actually written three, and I'm working on the fourth one. This thing all started roughly about 20-some-odd years ago, and I began doing some research into the world of dating and relationships and all because, I was trying to solve the problems I had in my own relationship life, like we all do. We all go through the same evolutionary phases. And what I discovered was, the issues weren't really about meeting people. I mean, there are people all over the place. You meet them all the time. It was really all about the other elements, the whole cultural thing, the parts of relationships that are built into our courting rituals and things that have been established for millions of years, and there's a whole foundation of these things. Well, what I really discovered was that there, even though the foundation is there, there really are some very simple steps that people can learn to really build their relationship solidly and to find what it is that they're looking for.
So once we meet someone, that's really just the beginning. We really need to work on it from there.
Absolutely. There is a problem, too. Where do you meet the great women or the great men? And my my statement is they always keep them in the warehouse on the east side of town, of course. But in fact, great people are all over the place. The problem is that do you have the tools necessary to actually go and meet that person?
The great tools, of course, is online dating, which is a newer dating tool. How do you feel like online dating has really changed the whole dating scene in general?
Well, it really has changed the dating scene. Number one, a lot of people use online dating more as a crutch than as a benefit to them. They need to learn how to use it properly. That's a really important key. We'll get into it in just a second. The other thing, too, is that, if you have a wide range of opportunity to meet people, then using an online dating service gives you the benefit of being able to perfect your skills, being able to determine what your goals are and find the people that fit those by going through a wide variety of people. And as I write about in my books, based on your goals, you may actually have to go through a volume of people.
Okay.
So there's no method you should turn down. They're all good opportunities.
They're all good opportunities because you – especially the more particular you are, you're going to need to go through a lot of different people to find that person.
Absolutely. This is one thing. I get a lot of letters, because of the books. You can imagine I've answered over 15,000 letters in just the past few years. But one of the things that people tend to believe is that there is one soulmate out there for them.
Okay.
When, in fact, according to my own calculations, I've actually sat down and crunched the numbers, there are probably many, many thousands of soulmates and maybe hundreds of thousands for individual people. But again, the trick is, number one, finding them, and number two, learning how to connect with that person to determine what their what features meet your goals, as well as how do you meet their goals.
Okay. You talk about focusing on the quality of the relationship, not the format. Tell us what that means.
Oh, Leticia, that's such a great question. People, we all tend to do this. We're all kind of brainwashed, right? You meet somebody that's really good, and then you build a relationship, and, you might move in together, and eventually it moves to marriage. Okay, that's the pattern we all follow. But in fact, that's probably the wrong way to go. I mean, if you're focusing on marriage, and I tell women this a lot, too, that if what you really want is just to be married, go out this weekend and find somebody to marry you. I mean, somebody will marry you this weekend, I can guarantee it. And then you'll be happy, right?
I don't think it quite works like that.
Well, that's kind of the point. I mean, why focus on the format, be it marriage, be it living together, be it just dating? The format is meaningless. What's really important is the quality of the relationship, regardless of the format. So focus on that as being the primary goal. Now, if your secondary goals are to be married or to have families and things like that, those are good reasons to move into that. But don't make that the primary concern. It's really a waste of your time, and it is contrary to getting your goals met.
Okay. You talk about what men need to know about women and what women need to know about men. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yes. See, it's such a funny thing, the differences. And what we do is we tend to try to impose our own models on other people.
I see.
We will, for example, Men are very, very direct. We say we're hungry, we're tired, we're horny, whatever. And that means just that we're tired, we're hungry, or horny. That's it. But when, for example, when a woman says, well, I'm tired, it could mean anything from the fact that she's ready to go to bed to the fact that she's, like, over the relationship, you know, and anything in between. What men need to understand is that, generally speaking, women use communication to, number one, they evaluate elements of how they feel through language. In other words, they will talk through a problem. That's one of the reasons why when women come home from work after a heavy day and they want to sit and talk about the relationship or their job or what happened that day, and then men jump in and say, they instantly say, well, why don't you do this? They're trying to solve the problem because we as men are problem solvers. We go right from problem to solution. And there's a big gap in there. And if men can learn to be more open to listening and simply providing a soundboard, and women can be more understanding of the fact that men are geared towards solving problems and going,
solution, why don't you try this? And really just appreciating those two different points of view.
And, you know, it really eliminates that whole thing of he or she just doesn't listen to me.
Right.
Many times you heard that, you know.
Alrighty, so let's talk about dating because you have a great article, or I'm sorry, I think it's a book on 1001 places to take a great date.
That's right, it's an e-book, 1001 places and techniques to meet great women.
Okay, and first dates are really important. They can kind of set the tone for the whole relationship. Once we meet this person and we're ready to move on to a first date to really get to know them better, what are some of your dating tips?
Well, okay, there's a whole series of things. And actually, I have a good article on the website about this, and there's a number of articles about this sort of thing there. But number one, people put a lot of emphasis on the first date. And, of course, you want to come off good. You know, I mean, this is your chance to kind of promote the best things about yourself. So number one, don't spend the time complaining about your last boyfriend or girlfriend or why things haven't worked out in the past or, you know, what problems you've – I mean, a lot of people, when they get into a stressful situation, and let's face it, first dates can be stressful, revert to what they feel most comfortable doing, which may be the last thing they just got out of.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to focus on the positive things. What's going forward? What's your goal? Where are you going with this thing? And the reason why you want to express your goals is because you want to find out what that other person's goals are too. And when you have a comfort where you can talk about those things, both people will focus on that future. Maybe a person's goal really is to be married and have kids, and the other person maybe doesn't really want a family. So now you've got to decide, is it worth investing in this person if their goals don't match mine? Or for that matter, are my goals so written in stone that I can't change them if this person turns out to be the one that really fulfills what I'm looking for? So number one, you want to get the goals out. Number two, you want to realize that this is not a dialogue or not a monologue. It is a dialogue. And you're doing, it's something of an interview process, but you don't want it to be so cold and calculated like an interview. So you want to find out about the other person. Tell me about your experiences. Tell me about your life. What did you do? What's important to you? And you also want to express those things yourself. One of the things that we hear a lot about women complaining with men is that they do tend to do the monologue thing.
Okay. Where
they'll just talk about kind of themselves. Women also will tend to do that too in some cases. And again, it's more done out of nervousness. So you want to really focus on the fact that, okay, I'm trying to find out what that person is all about while giving them the elements of me too.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing about the date, most important, is have fun. I mean, you know, life is too short. Have some fun. Laugh a little bit. You know, this is not a serious thing. I mean, nobody's, you know, dating is not serial killing. It's really straightforward, really easy. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go out and spend lots of money and, you know, be a big elaborate thing. I mean, just get together and have coffee and laugh a little bit. What makes you laugh? What makes you happy?
Okay. Now, you say that your favorites are Wednesday and Thursday night dates.
Yes.
Why is that?
Okay. Well, every day of the week has a certain up and a downside to it as to when you set up a date.
Okay.
One thing I like about Wednesday and Thursday nights is, number one, it's not the weekend. You know, weekend, that's kind of like the date nights, right, Friday and Saturday, because they're not school nights. So what happens is we tend to put a lot of emphasis on that, and there's pressure because of it. Mondays and Tuesdays, I mean, you're really kind of in the work mode. You're focused on that, and now a date or whatever kind of takes you away from that focus. So Wednesdays and Thursdays are kind of in the middle. You're starting to think about the weekend, starting to relax. You're starting to get the elements of your life that are not work-oriented kind of placed. There's no expectations. There's no preconceived ideas because, again, it's not a Friday or Saturday night date. And, again, most people tend to be available on Wednesday and Thursday nights. Mondays are sometimes for meetings or family, and then Fridays are dates. So.
Okay, so that's a great time to just do something kind of casual and really get to know the person without the big pressure of a weekend date.
Absolutely.
Okay. You talk about game busters on a date. You teach people how to avoid them and get over them. But let's talk about what game busters are and then your techniques for dealing with them.
Yes. Well, there are many, many techniques. But what the game buster is, basically, this is the person whose job, be it either implied or direct, is to prevent you from reaching your goal. Let's take an example. A guy walks up, and there's a couple of girls sitting there, and he starts talking to the girls. Well, one of the girls, you know, he has a focus on one of the people he really wants to get to know. Maybe her friend is the person who then jumps in between and drags her to the bathroom.
Okay.
You know, what are you doing talking to that guy? He's a real asshole or whatever, right? That's the game buster.
Okay.
Could be, for example, a male friend, too, or a male guy. Here's a great example. I mean, I was at a car wash one time and talking to this girl and getting ready to get her number, and this guy walks up and just starts talking to her. He just interrupts us entirely. There's another game buster.
He basically stands between you and starts talking?
Exactly. Technically, what he was doing is he was trying to benefit because of the work I had done. I mean, that's really what it came down to. So in my book, I have an entire chapter on how to handle the game buster and what you do and all the techniques. And it's really a matter of being proactive. Number one, you want to prevent the game buster from getting in on you. But number two, you also want to turn things around such that the person you're talking to becomes part of the solution and wants to get to know you and prevent the game busting too.
Well, let's talk about your situation at the car wash. Now, this guy is actually standing between you and a woman you've been chatting with for a little bit. You guys are really hitting it off. There's some chemistry going on. And he physically plants himself between you and her and also, you know, is inserting himself, trying to insert himself emotionally. How do you handle that kind of game busting?
Let me tell you how I handle that. What I did is I put my hand on the guy's shoulder, and he turned around and looked at me surprised, and I said, either you're the rudest guy I've ever met, or I'm invisible. Which one is it? And I didn't say another thing. He looked at me and goes, oh, I'm sorry. And he turned around and looked at the girl, and she's now got this look of disgust on her face, like, yeah, what kind of a jackass are you? So she starts working for me, you know, and so she kind of leans around the guy and starts ignoring him, talking to him. So you were saying, and this guy looks like a fool, and you know, he finally walks off, like, with his tail between his legs.
Okay, so you just really confronted him with exactly what was going on, and that dissipated that.
Yeah, now, I got to tell you something. This is a very important key. We talk a lot about the alpha male concept, you know, and not everybody is an alpha male, or for that matter, not everybody is an alpha female.
Okay.
But you can learn to do the things they do and come off that way and handle a lot of situations because of the attitude.
Okay, for people who may not be familiar with the concept of alpha male and alpha female, let's take a minute to explain that.
You bet. There, very briefly, in social sciences, there's a concept in a pack mentality. By the way, humans are pack animals. We live together. We develop social hierarchies, etc. The alpha male and the alpha female are the two that kind of run the pack. And there's a lot of sociology that goes behind this I won't get into. But basically, you're one of three people in the pack. You're the alpha, you are a beta, or you are what's called a subdominant. Now, the alpha, again, runs the pack. The beta will never challenge, never step up and do their thing. And these are the people we consider to be kind of the weaker ones. They're like the worker bees, effectively. The subdominants are the ones that aren't alphas, but they are the challengers.
Okay.
Okay.
So we don't have to worry about the beta members of the pack. We have to worry about the subdominants or be concerned about the subdominants.
Well, that's true, although you know what I want? I want those betas to know how the alphas work because you can pull on those keys anytime you need them. You don't have to be the alpha as long as you know what he does.
Oh, okay. So you teach people, even if you're not the alpha, you can use those strategies and still accomplish your goal.
Absolutely. And here's the interesting thing about this, Leticia. This works as well in person as it does online.
Wow.
You can use all these same techniques online.
Wow.
Now imagine
that's some news right there.
I know. Isn't that a cool idea? I mean, wow, let's see. You know, I don't have to, like, be on. I can, like, take some time and really work it through and do the things I want in, online. And that can actually lead you all into the actual personal meeting. You meet somebody online. You know, you respond to what they're saying. You do the alpha things that we teach, and all of a sudden, boom, you meet, and this person already has a preconceived idea. This guy is somebody I better get to know, or this girl is somebody that, man, I really want to deal with because she's got some power and some presence here.
Okay.
So very cool.
Give us one little alpha male tip or strategy.
Okay, I love this one. Alpha males are, in fact, by the way, and alpha females do this too.
Okay.
They never ask. They don't say, Leticia, you're really a great woman. Can I have your phone number? No. They don't do that. Here's what they do. They say, Leticia, wow, you're an incredible woman. Give me your phone number. I'm going to call you, and we're going to get together. Ooh, a little different, huh?
A little different, yes.
You know, I'll tell you what. You have somebody tell you, hey, give me your phone number. You know, your response, I mean, this is pre-wired into you. You are pre-built to do this, to reach for the pen and start writing the number. Now, while you're doing that, you may have some, you know, some thoughts in your mind, well, wait, my boyfriend's home or whatever. But you're still going to be instantly active and trying to satisfy that request of that alpha male.
So you're going to be moving in that direction even if your mind is saying, oh, here are some roadblocks, but initially you're still moving in that direction.
Absolutely. Now, you may have to deal with it like we just said, right? But on the other hand, at least you've got the ball. Oh, here's another great one. I love this one. See, kissing, the very first kiss, this is a big deal for a lot of people. I want to take that away from anybody listening to this right now. That should never be a problem for you, and here's why. First kisses are never requested. They're never given. They are stolen. Very important.
Okay.
I talk on my website about a key called the opening kiss. Now, imagine, you may have talked to somebody online, or maybe you met them and you got the number or whatever, and so you agree you're going to meet someplace and have coffee. This person walks up to you, and instead of shaking your hand, they reach down and they kiss you. Boom. Now, you're not ready for it, so you can't respond negatively, number one. Number two, the first kiss is out of the way. I mean, you don't have to, there's no big buildup now. You've already done it.
It's a done deal.
Absolutely. How simple is that? Okay, that problem is instantly solved and vanquished. We never have to worry about it again. And that's by the way, a very alpha male move, very simple.
Okay.
Now, let's say somebody's kind of nervous, they can't do that. Here's another great one. You know, once you've established some rapport and connection and you're laughing and having fun, you know, you can a guy can do this. He can kind of lean his cheek over to the girl and then tap on her, like, hey, kiss me here. So, yeah, that's really cute. She comes over to kiss him on the cheek. He turns his face, and she plants it on, and she lands on his lips. Well, hey, first kiss is over with, isn't it? Another nice little technique.
I've had that happen to me.
Isn't it great? And on top of that, it's charming, you know?
Yes, you don't get really too upset about that, you know. You're just surprised. You're pleasantly surprised.
Absolutely.
Well, there are a lot of strategies that people can use to just make dating a whole lot easier, and I know you have all of these things on beingaman.com.
Absolutely. It's not rocket science, and we just want to make this stuff simple and available to everybody so they all have the tools. Why not? It makes it better for us all.
And it's a great eye-opener, too, for women to just, you know, be able to understand a little bit about men and some of the things that they're looking for and what they're not looking for. And I know you have a list of, you call it BAM, female desired qualities.
Yes.
What's BAM?
BAM is be a man.
Okay.
You know, we have a whole philosophy, a whole philosophical basis for what we're doing and why it exists and where it comes from. And these are the qualities my students, my team members, and all these people actually look for. It's a great, great article for women.
Right, and it says straight out, you're looking for a woman who takes care of herself, who knows her assets, knows how to work them. You're mm-hmm. looking for a woman who's a team player, a woman who is interdependent, not independent, away from him, and not totally dependent on a guy.
Absolutely.
All of those things. It's self-confidence. A lot of women don't believe a man wants a woman with self-confidence, and I'd like you to speak to that.
Oh, I'd love to. You know, there was this belief for a long time that the independent woman thing just really came out. It was really popular in the 90s and early 2000s. And that was this picture where she's a powerful woman going on her own, going in her direction, you know. But let's face it, who really wants to have something they're going to compete with? Nobody wants that. I don't want to have to compete with the women that I'm dating to make decisions or policies or even what we're going to have for dinner. I mean, I'm very happy to say, you know what, I'm hungry for this. Let's go to this place. Now, next time, you get to choose. What I call that is interdependence. I want somebody who's strong, knows what they want, which is great, but that can be part of the team and kind of go with things and know when to back off and know when to take the lead, too. That's okay. That's the dance we play. If one person is entirely the power side and one person is entirely the submissive side, it doesn't work very well. There has to be an interplay.
And it's not. This is not a fun relationship.
That's right. I'll tell you what, the woman who can do that, the woman who can really kind of pull back and know when to let go and let things be, that's a confident woman.
Okay. That is awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Again, his website is Being, full of wonderful articles and information, and his book. Tell us about the four different books.
Well, there's Being a Man 1, which is kind of the foundation. It'll take you all the way through high school. Talks about setting goals, which I think is critical. If you don't have goals, then the person that walks by is the right one because you have no understanding what you want, the plan, whatever. Book number 2 takes you right through your doctorate degree in relationships. Talks about advanced approaches and how to build relationships. A thing I call the power seduction model. Goes into marriage and divorce and breakups and fixing problems, right-sizing relationships, and lots more. 1001 Places and Techniques to Meet Great Women is a very specific guideline on where to meet them and techniques to use when you're in those venues. The new book, which will be coming out hopefully by this time next year, is called Being a Man 3. And it's going to go into a whole bunch of philosophical things you can tie into relationships to turn them up and tune them up and make them what you're looking for. Make yourself that kind of person as well and make yourself the person that women really want to be with. Or for that matter, if you're a woman, make yourself the kind of person that men really enjoy being with, look forward to being with. So.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Dr. Letitia Wright for IDCDating.com. IDCDating.com is where we're creating multicultural relationships every day. Remember, ignoring one's conscience is neither safe nor right, and I'll see you next time.